Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, everyone. Guess what? We are already celebrating 100 episodes of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. All this week, we will be celebrating by giving away free resources to you. All week, we'll be giving away resources to callers and those who are emailing in. And we know it's hard to get into the show, so we're opening this up to everybody. Listen up. Here's what you got to do. All you have to do is go to stewardship.com. Again, that's stewardship.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and everyone will receive the first class of Financial Peace University for free. Again, you'll receive the first class of Financial Peace University for free. And this is the lesson which includes the big kick in the pants, what so many of us need. That's that episode. So you want to make sure that you get it and you will thoroughly enjoy that, I'm sure. Those of you that haven't even seen that lesson in quite a while, well, it might be time for a refresher. So all you got to do is go to stewardship.com and sign up for that newsletter. Again, this is your show. This is where you call in 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. And those of you that would rather email in, feel free to email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Our first call comes in from San Francisco. This is Regine. Regine, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Awesome. Well, I have a question regarding my 18-year-old son's savings bonds. He's been collecting them for his whole life, pretty much. And I was just curious. I was thinking about pulling some out and investing them in an IRA or some other sort of investment vehicle for him. And I was just curious to see what you thought.
Well, I like the idea of cashing them out. I don't know if an IRA is the right choice for this phase of life. Does he have any savings currently?
He does. He has like $1,200 in just a regular bank savings account.
Okay. How much money is he making right now?
Well, he's currently a student, so right now he doesn't have a job. He'll be getting a job next semester. This is his first semester in college. So he'll make, I think last year he made about $2,000 or something working in a part-time job.
All right. And does he have any debt at all?
No debt.
Okay. What are his expenses? Does he have any?
Well, he's going to a state school here in California, and thank God his grandfather put away money years ago in a college investment savings account. So he's on a full ride right now. So all of his expenses are paid.
Well, good, good.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, it'd be nice to get some interest out of this little bit of money. But my hunch is that you're going to need it soon. At 18 years old, you know, where he's going to have something pop up in the next 6 months where you're going to need it. So
right.
I like just keeping it liquid and keeping it in a money market account, because that puts him at a total of maybe what? How much was it again?
It's about $2,000 if I were to pull them all out.
Yeah, I like you pulling them all out just because you're not going to get much out of that. You're not going to keep up with inflation.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily think it necessarily has to go into another investment. I think he needs the savings. What I don't want to happen is you put it into another investment, you feel good about that, but because he's not in a good cash position, he has to go borrow somewhere else. So
right.
I like him just having the cash if you feel like he's going to be smart with it and not blow it on just stuff on the weekends. But
no, what I would probably do then is just go ahead and leave it where it is, and if he needs it, then we'll cash it out as necessary.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to put it into a thing and say, oh, here's your savings, you know. But then, I don't know, he might be tempted. But honestly, like, as far as the near future is, you know, he has a car that's paid for, he has his college that's paid for, and he's going to be working just for his own spending money. So he's, so far, knock wood, he's he's been very responsible with the money that he's made. So
yeah, well, I like it. That's cool. I like that a lot.
Well, I just thought if I put like even $1,000 away right now and just didn't even tell him about it and just like let it grow over time, it would be a nice little gift to him in the future.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, there's nothing wrong with it at all. I mean, most people I'm trying to convince to invest, so I don't want to necessarily over convince you not to invest. Yeah. But I just I got a feeling in the next 6 months he's going to need the money, and I would be I'd be devastated if I found out that he borrowed money because he threw that little bit of investment into it.
Right.
I just don't want him to borrow, so that's all.
No borrowing. All right. I see what you're saying.
I'm desperately want him to start off on the right track. And because of that, and because it's our 100th episode week, I want to hook him up with a Total Money Makeover book. Would he be okay with that?
Ooh, of course.
The Bible says, Romans 8:28, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And as he gets started, I want him to be going the right direction according to God's purpose. And what we teach in the Total Money Makeover is God's way of handling money.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next call comes in from all the way from Alberta, Canada. This is David. David, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, very good. Very good. How can I help you?
This is going to be probably going to sound crazy. So I was really stupid about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
So I purchased a car, financed a car, for it was probably really only worth maybe $15,000 of me being stupid. I ended up, the sales guy ended up selling it to me for about $20,000, and it was at 21.5% interest.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Major ouch. How long ago was this, you said?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay. How much longer do you have to pay it off?
I think it's a 5-year term.
Wow. And what's your question?
So my question is what would be the smartest? I actually ended up paying off all the rest of my other debts. All my student loans, so I had 4 credit cards from college that were maxed out. I've paid those all off completely. And so the only thing I have left for entirety of debt is this car, which seems to be the end of me right now. and so I'm able to pay it, but it's a lot, especially the amount of interest is like crazy by the end of that term. And so I'm just wondering what I can do to kind of, like, I almost would want to kind of keep the car because it's a really nice car. It's just the interest that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, like, should I try to get another loan to buy out that finance loan at a lower percent interest rate, or should I just save up the buyout amount, which I think is around $16,000, $16,800, or should I just sell the car and get rid of it?
What's your income?
$50 a year. Plus, dependent on overtime, I make some overtime too.
Okay. Do you have any savings?
Right now, I just brought down my savings quite a bit to pay off the rest of all my debt. So, but I have about $2,000 right now.
And the so the value of the car is, you said 16.
It right now left going on to do a buyout option would be $16,800. Well, that's what I owe on it is what I mean. And I could maybe, if I'm lucky, get about $12,000 for the actual car.
I mean, I like, obviously, if you go and get a loan, you're going to get better in 20. What was the percentage on it?
21.5.
Goodness. And have you priced what could be lower? I mean, how much lower you can get?
Well, the thing is, I just started a new job recently, so I'd have to wait a little bit. I think you have to wait at least 3 months for even banks to even look at you.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't doubt it if I could get 9% or lower easily.
I would just dump the car. And what that means is you're going to have to get a loan for the difference plus the amount of money that it's going to take you to get a new car. That's what I would do. So you're going to be you're going to have a loan out for about $6,000. You're going to be driving like a $2,000 car. That's the most aggressive way to do it. If you only had like $5,000 left on this, I would just say go and hammer it and be done in 6 months and then drive the car, make a bad decision, a good one, and drive it forever. And then you can kind of make it a good decision over a long period of time and drive it until it.
Yeah.
But with 16 left and 3.5 years left, that's brutal, man. I'd get out of that thing as soon as possible. So it's either that.
Okay, so
or you get another job and pay this thing off in less than 6 months. But I would never do that for a car. That's just a lot of work. So, yep.
So you think basically, so what I should do then is just because I can sell it for $10,000 or $12,000, you think I should try getting a loan when I can to just buy it out, then sell it, which I'll only get maybe $10,000 or $11,000 for. Then I have less just to pay out.
Yeah,
like
just
$6,000.
Yeah, just make sure you sell it private party is what I mean. You don't just go in and trade it in.
Okay.
Yeah, private party.
No, I would never do trade-ins. They're crazy.
Yeah, get the top dollar you can for it, and then get a loan for the difference from your local bank.
Okay.
So just remember, interest paid is a penalty. Interest received is a reward. We want to be on the right end of the interest thing. Have you ever heard of Total Money Makeover?
I kind of have. I listen to Dave's Ramsey show every now and then. I have never actually looked into it, though.
Well, here's what I want to do, because it's our week of our 100th episode here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I want to actually give you a copy of the Total Money Makeover. You okay with that?
I am definitely okay with that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, because this whole idea of debt, you know, Proverbs 22:7 says the borrower is slave to the lender, and it talks all about this idea of staying away from debt, and it goes into detail, and it tells you how to avoid it, and it tells you how to pay it off, and it even talks about this particular situation in the book. So I want to make sure that you have the full book. So we're going to get your information, and we're going to mail it to you, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your advice and your ministry. It's great.
Oh, thanks, David. Thanks for calling in all the way from Canada.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one.
Folks, you hear us talk about Financial Peace University, and you hear us talk about debt snowballs and all those kind of things quite a bit. But maybe you're not familiar with the Legacy Journey. That's another class that we also offer. It's actually Dave Ramsey's latest book, The Legacy Journey. It's a book that tackles really, really tough issues, like what does the Bible say about money? A lot of things we talk about on this show, it dives into what the Bible says about money. So it's like, what about wealth? How much is enough for your family, if that's ever been a wrestle for you? You'll also learn how to live a legacy and leave a legacy for your family. So it's The Legacy Journey, incredible book. I've read it cover to cover, and I've got it all highlighted, and I've got mine all marked up. I've learned a lot from that book. And if you want to learn more about it, or if you want to get it now, it's under Chris Recommends at stewardship.com. Again, at stewardship.com under the Chris Recommends section, and it's called The Legacy Journey. So you want to check that out.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next call comes in from San Antonio. This is Christian. Christian, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
I just had a quick question. I needed some advice in my career path. So I was working at a real estate agency, and I was a transaction coordinator for a while. I got laid off, and so I was looking out. I had just started real estate classes to get my license, and I was looking around for a job, and I found one at my local grocer, and it was like 3 minutes before my interview. They offered me my old job back with more pay in real estate, and so I was kind of leaning towards that way, but I really wanted to go to my grocer, and I was going to ask for your opinion on which one I should have gone for, or because I chose my grocer now,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the real estate transaction coordinator, because I want to start school and also, have more time to focus on my family.
Yeah, what do you want to do eventually? Let's say, like, if you were to paint the perfect picture 3 years from now, what are you doing?
What I really want is one of the there were two brokers, and one of them offered me a job as a showing agent while I'm, you know, as I'm starting up. So I wanted to start off with that, and they're going to train me and coach me to, you know, sell a lot of houses like that I can have for passive income. Buy a lot of houses, I'm sorry. And so they wanted to eventually build me up there, but I also wanted to be leasing houses and having, like, I want to start up passive income around that time. That's what I'm hoping for.
Mm-hmm. When you say passive income, real estate's not a passive income thing. It's you're going out and you're earning it. So what do you mean by passive income?
I meant like if I bought my own house and rented it out.
Oh, okay.
It keeps coming in as a
gotcha,
as I
gotcha.
Own the house.
So okay.
I'm sorry.
So do you want to get your full-fledged broker's license?
Maybe in like way farther down the road.
Why? Like, why so long?
Because I want to get like a lot of good experience and good training.
How long have you been how long have you been coordinator?
It was about 6 months, and I started there as just a kind of clerical kind of things, mm-hmm. and then they moved me up to the transaction coordinator. So that was about 6 months straight. So I've closed a few houses.
And this is residential?
Yes, it's residential.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
Okay. I mean, I love the fact that you want to learn first, but for me, the people who win in real estate are the people that are go-getters. They're passionate. What you can't teach is the passion and the get-after-itness. The rest you can teach. And if you don't know, you just ask questions. So you just don't do anything until you know exactly what you're talking about. You get yourself in some legal problems. So, if that's what you want to do, I would pursue the real estate. So whichever one of those jobs, if you're asking me the question, which one was the better decision, whatever one's going to allow you to get your real estate license fastest, that's it. And the bottom line is if you want to continue to get experience in real estate, you can still be asking people questions. You can still be sitting in the office and asking, you don't have to have that exact role. There's ways you can learn without sitting there in that role. So if one's paying you $15 an hour and one's paying you $17, and one gets you, down the road faster, it's whatever one gets you down the road faster. You want to get to your goals as fast as possible. So I don't know which one does that for you, but if you're a go-getter and you're going to get after it, for me, you got to ask yourself which one of those environments is going to let you get down the road faster, which one has the values and the culture that you want to work in, those kind of questions. So either one's fine as long as you can get your real estate broker's license. I would not short sell yourself and say, I can't be a real estate broker for 3, 5, 6 years. I'd get after it now fast as you can, because you can do it part-time. I mean, you're not going to be super successful part-time, but you're going to get, you could do that part-time and do the grocery for five. But if you would have said that I wanted to become a manager of a grocery store, well then, it's just kind of line up with your goals. For me right now, either one of those roles right now is just a stepping stone to where you want to get. And so whatever one gets you there faster, but I wouldn't hold off on the real estate license. Your life is only going to get more and more full as an adult. This might be the best time that you have to go get a real estate license.
Gotcha.
Christian, I want to give you a book. It's called Start. And, it's a book that we've had here at Ramsey Solutions for quite some time. We want to give that to you because it talks all about new beginnings. It talks about the attitude that has to go into it. And Colossians 3:23 is kind of a theme in there. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men. And it's this whole idea of going in with passion. And whatever you do, that's what my recommendation would be, no matter if it's in a grocery store or if it's in a real estate office. So we're going to give you that book. And for me, man, I would get after it. Whatever you want to do, do it now.
That does make a lot of sense, actually. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's really helped me out a great deal. You don't even know.
Well, good, good. Yeah, I wouldn't want you to look back and go, man, I wasted 2 years. You don't want to do that. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got you.
So stay on the line, and Amanda's going to pick up. And because it's our week of our 100th episode, we want to make sure that we hook you up with the Start book, okay?
Cool. Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Our next call comes in from Los Angeles. This is Derek. Derek, how are you?
I'm very good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, I have a friend who is still convinced that there are some cases where leasing vehicles make sense. I personally don't, and I'm kind of converting over a little bit day by day and kind of, dumping debt and that whole thing. And he's pretty convinced. But he emailed me a question to ask you on his behalf. Essentially, he said, as a business owner, I can buy a vehicle and depreciate it over its useful life. I know when you lease, you can write off the entire lease payment. And so I wanted to get what your thoughts were on that. Again, I'm not somebody that would do anything like that, but does it make sense for business owners to do something like that?
Well, I'm never a fan of making a purchase because it's a tax write-off. I think you get something that you need. If there happens to be a tax write-off after the fact, then that's bonus. but I would never go do something because of the tax write-off, because it just doesn't make sense. For instance, if you spend $10,000 on something and you're going to get a 20, something that you, you know, didn't necessarily need. So a lot of people are getting like $20,000 vehicles, even though they don't need a $20,000 vehicle, because they're getting a $2,500 write-off. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you're not paying, or maybe it's still, for that scenario, probably more like a $5,000 write-off. But it's the same thing with mortgages. Some people are like, man, I want to get a house because of the write-off. So you spend $10,000 on interest payments so that you can save $2,500, which $2,500 is the tax benefit for spending $10,000. So for me, I don't like that.
That's exactly what I told him. You would say word for word. I mentioned, I was like, well, you know, buddy, and let's say, for example, he and I were business owners, and, you know, I invested what he's paying in a lease payment, then, you know, I would be better off later. He's like, well, you don't get it because it's the business and it's different. This isn't personal finances. And I kind of tend to agree with you. I don't think it's that much different.
Well, that's usually the comeback, is because we want to make it as sophisticated as possible so that people will stop arguing with us. But the bottom line is, it's a biblical principle of how you handle money. You buy things that you can afford, and you buy things looking forward. So you budget and you save for things that are going to happen in the future. You don't spend money on things, or you don't spend money on things that you've bought in the past. That's what a payment is. You're progressing through your company, and you're running your business and paying payments based on things you've already spent. And so it doesn't make any sense. Really, a car, what we call is a fleece. Really, I mean, it's sad, because it's like sheep, like just making dumb decisions. A car lease is basically renting a car. That's what you're doing. You pay $400 a month, and at the end of the new car lease, you turn it back in. If you want to buy it, you're buying it for what they estimate at the beginning of the lease to be the market value. And at the end of the lease, it's called the residual value. So if you pay $400 a month for 60 months, you pay $24,000 before turning it in. The car will not have gone down in value more than that, because the car companies would lose money if it did. So when they get the car back, you will have paid them more than the car has depreciated during that time. And that's what your friend needs to know.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah, so hopefully that helps. And this is—I really wanted to not only address this scenario, but I wanted for our listeners, I want us all to understand that people get sold on automobile leases because they're told that it's what smart people do. But as it turns out, the car companies make more money on leasing you the car than if you bought the car with cash, according to the National Auto Dealers Association. Broke people think how much down and how much a month. Rich people think how much. If you can't pay cash for a car, then ride a bike, but don't lease a car. Listen, hey, how far are you from Phoenix?
You know, it's funny you say that, though, because the person that I'm talking about that asked me about this lives on the East Coast, and he's actually going to Phoenix, and I was entertaining the idea of meeting him there. Are you having an event there?
Yes, we are, and I want to hook you and your friend up.
I really appreciate that.
So this is one of the things we're going to talk about at the event. That's why I bring it up. It's called the Smart Conference, and I will be speaking there. Dave Ramsey will be speaking there. Dr. Les Parrott, Dr. Meg Meeker, Dr. Henry Cloud, Chris Hogan, Rachel Cruz, Christy Wright, Michael Jr., the comedian. It's going to be an amazing event. And because it is our 100th episode this week, I want to hook you up with tickets to the Smart Conference. You cool with that?
Very cool with that.
All you got to do is drive 5 hours. But we want to hook you up.
Actually, perfect, because again, he lives actually in South Carolina, and he's been coming out to visit his folks out there. And we were just talking about, well, maybe I'll make the trip out there to see you, because I haven't seen him in a couple years now. So that would be very fun.
Well, good. Then we'll talk at this thing. We'll talk about all about smart things to do with your money, and leasing won't be one of them. And you and I and him will have a little fun in the lobby talking about this.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Amanda will get your information. We'll send you tickets. Well, it's hard to believe, but we're all done for today. I know, only 30 minutes for now. I'm sorry. We're exploring expanding. We've heard you. Thank you so much for being passionate about stewardship just like we are. And I want to remind you that you can head over to stewardship.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we will send you the first lesson of Financial Peace University for free. Again, let's stay connected on Twitter and on Facebook and Instagram at Chris Brown On Air. And I want to encourage those of you who are listening on iTunes to not just be downloading, but subscribe. Folks, it's been a pleasure. Let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory.